debating on whether to use it or not this morning. I've used it often here. And then when she sang, "Jesus loves me," I took it. That was the Lord saying to use it. You old settlers around here, remember when this happened? Little kids here in our church, they love me. Most of the adults would leave, but the kids won't let them because they love me and I love them. I get more sugar from little girls, 3 and 4 years of age, and they know I love them and they love me and I'm grateful. But I love all of them. I love the little bus kids that come barefooted. Like the little boy I mentioned the other day, he looked in my study through the cracked door, and he looked at it, he saw my study, he said, "Golly, look in there." He said, "That looks like heaven." Well, it's just because an angel works in there all the time. A little girl came years ago, back in the other building over here. I had only been here about a year. It's been 12, 13 years ago. She wasn't real pretty. I checked on her and found that her mother was a prostitute and her father an alcoholic. Oh, she loved to come to our Sunday school. I can see her now. She's grown now. She's now about 20 years of age. I don't know where she is. But she had a little dress that came almost down to her ankles, and that's before we started doing that on purpose. A little dress came down almost to her ankles. And her hair was just straight. Remember how girls used to wear their hair years ago? Bangs across here and straight, cut across like this. And her hair was straight, but it wasn't really. I mean, her hair was straight, but it wasn't really cut straight. Oh, she loved me. She called me Mr. Brother Hyatt. She used to call me Mr. Hiles, and then she heard everybody call him Brother Hiles, so she started calling me Mr. Brother Hiles. One Sunday morning, she came and jumped up on the platform in the old building. I bent down. She was about 6 at the time. And I hugged her and kissed her, and she said, "You're my best friend." She meant best friend. "You're my best friend." And I said, "Thank you. I'd love to be your best friend." And I kissed her on the cheek, and she went her way. Next Sunday morning, she came again. Jumped up on the platform after it was all over. In those days, we didn't baptize except on Sunday night. We didn't baptize Sunday morning. She said, "You're my best friend. And I love you, Mr. Brother Hiles." And I said, "I love you too, sweetheart. And I am your friend." Every Sunday, she came and said those words, "You're my best friend. You're my best friend." I'll never forget the Sunday morning she came, jumped up on the platform. Her heart was breaking. Her eyes were red like she'd cried all night long. And she had little hands like this. She looked up and she said, "Mr. Brother Hiles, I ain't going to come back here no more. We're moving to another state. And we're best friends." And I said, "Sweetheart, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you." She said, "You don't understand, Mr. Brother Hiles. You won't get to see me no more after today. And we're best friends." And I said, "Sweetheart, I will miss you. I don't want you to go." She said, "You don't understand. I'm going away forever." And I said, "Honey, I know that, and I'll miss you." And then she placed her little hands on her little hips. She looked at me, and I thought her heart would break. And she said, "Mr. Brother Hiles, ain't you going to cry?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going to cry." And I did. She turned and ran, and I followed her. She ran down the street. She had a little dirty handkerchief in her hand. She's looking back, waving at me, and running down the street because she wanted to get over the heartbreak as soon as possible. She bumped into a post out here. Fell down, big knot swelled up on her head. She ran off crying. The last word she said to me, "Goodbye, best friend. Goodbye." There's a man came to this church during this week. He came to me one day and he shook my hand and he began to weep and he threw himself on my shoulders. And he said, "Brother Hiles, I have longed for this moment for years to shake your hand." And he wept with joy. He said, "I have longed to see the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and to think I got to come." 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a family left our church. The man went to our college, has some teenage girls and family. And they're leaving after graduation, and it broke the heart of the girls and the family, for that matter. They came to my office and cried and cried and cried. And they came back again, and they could hardly bear the thought of leaving First Baptist Church of Hammond. I left that night about 11 o'clock. And they were parked out in the parking lot, still crying, just sitting there. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to drive away. A man said the other day, he said, "This is the nearest thing in the world to heaven," right here in the First Baptist Church. And he said this. He said, "Even the building smiles. Even the building smiles." But when that man said the other day, "I have longed," boys, sit up and put everything out of your hands. He said, "I have longed to be here." When he left, he cried like he was leaving his home. And I got to humming. I don't know why. I got to humming. "I have a longing in my heart for Jesus. Just to be near him, to feel his presence. I have a longing in my heart for him." I looked up the word longing in the Cruden's Concordance and in the Greek, began to study the word longing. For example, in Psalm 63:1, the psalmist said, "My flesh longeth for thee." Psalm 84:2, "My soul longeth for the courts of the Lord." Psalm 119:131, "I long for thy commandments." Psalm 119:174, "I long for thy salvation." Philippians 1:8, the apostle Paul in jail wrote his beloved Philippian people and said, "I long, how greatly I long after you." He wrote the Roman people in Romans 1:11 and said, "I long for you." And so I began to look the word longing up. I should long for some things. The Bible admonishes us to long. The word long means to greatly desire. It enlarges on it more than that. It means to abundantly, overflowingly desire something. And Job said, "I want what my heart longs for." So I found one thing in the Bible. It seems that when David said, "My courts long, I long for the courts of the Lord," it seemed like he was talking about heaven. In fact, it seems like the Bible teaches us that every one of us ought to long for heaven. Now, I mean that. I do not want our people to get too worldly minded. I don't mean drinking liquor. I don't mean cursing. I don't mean gambling. I don't mean running around in nightclubs. I'm talking about good things of the world. I think we can get too wrapped up in picnics until we don't long for heaven. I think we can get too wrapped up in bowling and playing golf and going to ball games and watching television and things that in themselves may not be wrong. But God's people need to develop a holy unrest with this old heathen cosmos world. And we ought to long for our Lord. And I want to chat with you a while. I won't be profound at all, as usual. But I want to chat with you for a while about longing. I long this morning, and I mean it, for heaven. I long for what is not in heaven. I'm tired this morning. Not tired physically, but I'm tired of some things. Just recently, one of our finest families had a little baby. They had longed and hoped and dreamed and prayed. I mean, one of our best families. The baby was born a few days ago, a mongoloid child. And I said, "I'll be glad when we get to heaven." Well, there won't be any of that. I got off the airplane in Fairbanks, Alaska. One of the most precious couples our church ever produced, stationed up there in the Air Force, met me at the airport. And they had a cute little baby girl that was walking, and they had a baby girl in arms. I looked at her, and the look out of her eyes wasn't normal. And that little mother who grew up in our church and was once a teenage kid here, for the rest of her life, probably will have that little baby with retarded mind. And I couldn't get my mind off of it. And all the time I was in Alaska, I said, I'll be glad when there's no more of that. They used to sing about it. They used to sing, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. But Christianity has gotten today to be more an appeal of, have a great life now, have a good time now. And you do have a good time now, but there's still a heaven where we're going to go, blessed be God. We used to sing, I dreamed I searched heaven for you, search vainly in heaven for you, so won't you prepare to meet me up there, for I dreamed I searched heaven for you. A little lady came to my office Friday night after I'd preached. I used to be her pastor. I noticed that she didn't have a smile in the services. I pastored in Texas. I noticed her face looked like it was not happy, and I wondered why. She came to my study and she said, Brother Hiles, my girl, my daughter's missing. She went to a school and they shook her faith at a state university. She got mixed up in the wrong crowd and dope and so forth. She said she's been gone for 3 weeks and I don't know where she is and I'm about to die. And I said, I'll be glad when that's all behind us. I'll be glad when nobody ever has cancer. Morning in this building, I know of a half a dozen people who have cancer lurking in their bodies right now. I'll be glad. I long for that place. I long for the place where nobody will ever say, my boy's on dope. Or no 19-year-old, such as happened this last week, Mrs. Verdi Field's 19-year-old grandson was suddenly electrocuted on the job. And I long for a place where that won't happen anymore. And where there be no hungry children. I got off the airplane last Monday in Pennsylvania, in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and a fine young man met me in his early 30s. And he said, we're glad to have you, Dr. Hiles, to our area. And we went to the car, and there were three fine-looking boys. One was named Matthew. I said, hey, what's your name? Matthew. Hey, I read the book you wrote in the Bible and read about you. You used to be a tax collector. I know all about you. Your name was Levi, right? Right? I'm not the same one, he said. And I heard about you. And talked to the other boy. And then the little boy there, 4 years of age. I said, what's your name?
And he ain't like that.
I said, you got a name? I said, can't you talk? Has the cat got your tongue? Did you ever say that up here? Now, when I came from the United States, they used to use that tongue, the term a lot. Said, the cat got your tongue? And he and his mother said, yes, he can't talk. Oh, cutest little kid you ever saw. She said he's never spoken a word. We don't know why, but he's never spoken. And I fell in love with that little kid. I never wanted in my life to take a kid and raise him as bad. I wanted to take that little kid and love him. And the father said, son, where's your head? Like that. You think that's not too smart. But the fist sometimes doesn't know. He loses his head a lot of times. And said, where's your nose? 4-year-old boy. Where are your ears? Where's your mouth? Where are your feet? There. And we talked about the boy. And I hugged him and loved him and longed for a day when nobody will ever be dumb and nobody will ever be deaf. And nobody will ever be retarded. And nobody will ever be mongoloid. And I'll be glad when no goodbye. I don't know why. This morning, all morning long, I've been thinking about Mrs. Dunsworth. I don't know why. But ever since I got up this morning, I've been thinking about poor Mrs. Dunsworth. One of our dear ladies here. Ever an encouragement to my heart. It was the Dunsworth family. And she's been laid up with a stroke. And she's in, I think, a rest home now. She's still in a rest home with the John's gone. You know, she's in a rest home? I think she is. And I thought this morning, as I walked in, the first thing I thought about, and I walked in this auditorium, is wouldn't she love to be here this morning?
Oh, wouldn't she love to sit here one more time? You know, every last one of us that have enough strength to walk and eyes to see and ears that hear, a tongue that can speak and strength enough to come to God's house and join together and sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. The angels prosper and fall. All of us ought to stand up and say, glory to God, how good God's been to us. Praise the Lord for His goodness. I'm tired of hearing reports about cancer. I'm tired of God's name being cursed. I'm tired of broken homes. I'm tired of little boys and girls saying, my daddy won't come home anymore. I'm tired of little boy children saying, my mother doesn't love me. I'm tired of cancer. I'm tired of little boys and girls getting leukemia and their bodies wilting away. I'm tired of strokes. I'm tired of our senior citizens lying in rest homes, longing for heaven and longing to see God. Oh, no wonder Job said, give me what my heart and soul long for. And no wonder the psalmist said, my flesh longeth for thee. I'm longing for heaven because of what is not there. I want to go to a place where these deaf folks here will be able to hear the beautiful choir music. This morning, I watched them a little bit during the special. And they didn't hear the choir or the ladies who sang so beautifully or Mrs. Lale who blessed us so much. And they've never heard my voice. They've missed a great deal there. But they've never heard my voice. Every once in a while, we got some smart addicts in the deaf section. And every once in a while, when I holler, they'll do like that. They can only tell I'm hollering when I open my mouth real wide, you know, which is most of the time, they'll smart addicts do like that. And but I'll be glad when those ears back there can all be open. I'll be glad. Oh, I was in Pennsylvania this week, and I got to thinking about Brother Foreman, our blind man. And I got thinking, I wish, you know, used to when the church was smaller, I had enough time to see most everybody. And the fact that I don't see you doesn't mean I don't love you. The fact that I can't see everybody, I can only see so many a week. The fact that I can't see you doesn't mean I don't care. And I got to thinking, that dear godly man with burdens too heavy for any man to have to carry, living in a world of darkness all the time, I got to just saying, Lord, why don't you come on back and end this old mess and get it over with. I'm longing for heaven because of what is not there. I'm tired of hearing people curse God. I was on the airplane the other day flying out west. And people say, Brother Hodge, you must spend all your time flying somewhere. No, I'll spend half of it flying back. But I was on the airplane, and I was a little bit hungry to see Jesus. And I've been talking to him a little bit, loving him. The fellow in front of me started cursing. And he cursed so loud everybody on the plane could hear him. And he cursed God. He used the word D-A-M-N. I say the word, not a word. Basically, but use it after God's name. And then he began to curse Jesus. And for about 15 minutes, he cursed and cursed and used the vilest language about the Lord. And I got mad first, and then I began to cry. And after a while, I looked up, and I said, sir, could I ask you a question? And he said, what is it? And I said, sir, please, please, don't do it anymore. And he said, what? And I said, don't curse God anymore. I said, man, everything that's ever happened to me that's good, he did it. And everything that about me that's been happy, he brought it. He gave his son on the cross to die for me and for you. I said, please don't curse him anymore. Oh, blessed be God, there's something better than this. There's a place where little ladies will not stoop as they come to church, and the knees will not hurt, and Aunt Lou won't get sick as she is now, and nobody will ever have to have surgery, and nobody will ever cry, and no lonely heart will ever weep itself to sleep, and no pillow will find itself soaked with tears, and no little boy should ever wonder who his daddy is, and nobody will ever go to the penitentiary, and nobody will ever do wrong anymore, and nobody will ever curse God, and nobody will ever tell a lie, and nobody will ever cheat, and nobody will ever feel the sharp pain and wonder if it's a heart attack, and nobody will ever have a test at the hospital and find out it's cancer, and nobody will ever lie on bed wondering how long it's going to be, will it be today, and nobody will ever walk the hospital floor again waiting for the news, and nobody will ever sit in the room, the chair outside the intensive care ward, and nobody will ever say, Brother Hiles, I don't think I'm going to live, Brother Hiles, I think I'm going to die. Thank God there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I'm longing for heaven, said Paul. And I think one reason he said it, he's longing for what won't be there. But then I hasten to say, he was longing for what will be there. Longing for what will be there. And I won't stay much time on this. Longing for the rest of heaven. Longing for the golden streets, the gates of pearl. Longing for the beautiful, the tree of life and the river of life. Longing for a place where all the blessings of God are present. But then this is what I want to say mainly. Not only longing for heaven because of what is not there and what is there, but longing for heaven because of who is there. Oh, yes. I was thinking last night, my mother gave birth to two little girls. They both died when they were 7. I've never seen them. I wonder what they look like. I wonder if they're ugly like my sister or pretty like me. And I've been wondering about that. And I'm looking forward to seeing my little sisters and seeing what they look like. And I've been thinking. And you know, I thought last night too. I thought, and I don't feel sorry for myself, really. But I thought last night, I'll be glad to go somewhere where I can walk down the street and everybody will love me. You know, I was thinking last night, Dr. Billings, nobody will everybody will love me when I get to heaven. Everybody. I mean, I want to walk down the street and say good morning to somebody and they stick your snoot up in the air 2 feet. And I met a lady, I was walking down to Jack Fox the other day to get a pair of trousers I'd bought. And I met a lady, and I'm from Texas, and we speak to folks down in Texas. And every time a car came by, we waved at the car, both of them a month. We waved at when they came by. And you met somebody on the street, you spoke to them. And I was walking down the street, and I said, good morning. How are you? No, good afternoon. How are you? How are you today? And she went, Now, I got a little mean. I got a little nasty. So I ran around the block right quick. I know she's coming. And I met her again. Isn't that awful? That's terrible. How could a nice guy like me be like this? And I said, hey, good afternoon. She, you know, I made her go, five times that one day. That one day. But I was thinking last night, I'll be glad to get to a place where everybody loves me. And I got to wondering, honestly, this may come as a great surprise to you, but I wonder why folks don't like me. God knows this is true. I love every person on the face of this earth. I wouldn't hurt anybody if I could, unless it was to help. I wouldn't be unkind unless it was for Jesus' sake. God knows this is true. I'm as stubborn as a... No amens till I... for a while. King's X on amens right now. I'm as stubborn as a guy can get. I always think I'm right. You know why I always think I'm right? I'm always right! But anyway, I know my faults. But God knows this is true. There's not a person that walks the face of this earth that I don't love. And I mean that. And there's not the bitterest enemy I've got. I'd take the coat off the shirt off my back and the shoes off my feet and give them to him today. And God knows that's true. And I was thinking last night, won't it be good to go to a place where everybody loves everybody and nobody ever gossips and nobody ever spreads any rumors and nobody ever hates anybody else and everybody loves. And I long for the place because of who's there. I was thinking about my Uncle Harvey last night. Uncle Harvey, I want to talk about him tonight some. He was a rich man. I guess, I'm sure, a multimillionaire. He tried to put me in his will. I wouldn't let him put me in his will. He tried to give me $250,000 one day. I wouldn't take it. And yet, that's more than I've got in my pocket right now. But it's more than everybody in this church has got in their pocket, too. It better be for the building program coming up. But I was thinking about him when he had a stroke, and for months he was just almost bedridden. And I'd go to see him, and he'd say to me, he'd say, Jack, you're the only person I know that's my friend. And I said, what do you mean, Uncle? He'd say, well, when you're rich, you don't know who loves you and who's your friend. But he said, you've never taken anything except for God's work. And he said, I know you're my friend. We were on a trip in Texas. I got a call. My uncle was near the point of death. I went to Bader Hospital. He had bought a suite there and given it to the hospital, paid for the whole thing. And he was there in that suite of rooms, the H.J. Harris suite of rooms. He died in the room he bought and built. I went to his room. They said he's unconscious. He's in a coma. He doesn't recognize anybody. His son, Rupert, came in. His son, I guess Rupert now is nearing 60. He came in and he said, "Hello, Dad." And Uncle Harvey didn't speak. And then Harvey Janelle, his oldest daughter, came in. Harvey spoke. And Uncle Harvey didn't say a word. He just was in a coma, they said. And his youngest daughter, Dorothy, came in and said, "Hello, Daddy." And he didn't speak a word. And I walked in, and the nurse said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Jack Hiles." "Oh," said, "you're his nephew." I looked at him, and I said, "I'm more than his nephew. I'm his pal and his friend." And he opened his eyes, shook his head. "I'm longing to see him. I'm longing for who will be there. I'm longing to spending some time with some of you." The other day, I had conferences all day. I mean day and night, one after the other. One of our good men, he's here this morning, one of the finest men in this church, a businessman, walked in. He wanted to ask my advice about his business. Some investments he wanted to make and some things, decisions he had to make. And I advised him, counseled with him. And when I got through, it was 11:30. And he said, "Preacher, let me take you out to lunch." Now, all of a sudden, I said, "I can't go." But when he left, I got thinking, Doc, how much I'd enjoy that with him. And I got thinking about our people. I can't. I'm too much to do. I eat on the run. But I got thinking about our people. How many of you I'd love to spend a day with? How many times when you come to my office and you leave, "I've got to hurry. I've got the next appointment. But I hate to see you go." Oh, I'll be glad when we'll be at a place where we'll have all the time we want to do everything we want to do. I mean, no hurry and no tears to catch on our shoulders and no broken hearts and nobody to have to say, "I think wish I were dead." There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Something happened to me almost 3 years ago. I've been preaching 25 years. And on the 25th anniversary of my ministry, I spent the day alone with God in a motel room I chose. And I shouted all day, took off my shoes and just jumped up and down, praised God all day. And along about sundown, it hit me. I've been preaching for 25 years, quarter of a century, about somebody I've never seen. And I was consumed. And for 2.5 years, I've taken Psalm 17, verse 15. "I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." And every morning when I get up, I quote Psalm 17, 15, or read it. And I say, "Lord, I'm not going to be satisfied till I wake up someday and I'm in thy likeness." And I've been consumed. I've been consumed with the fact they won't be long, thank God, till we'll see the one whom we've preached and loved and about whom we've talked and about whom we've read, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face. When will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So I'll bravely run the race till we see Christ. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. I want to see my Savior first of all, and as Fanny Crosby wrote, "And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace." It used to be, Brother Fisk, the gates of pearl I wanted to see. I don't care now if they're old cattle gates we had in the country, if I can just see Jesus with them. I used to want to walk the streets of gold. I don't care if it's gravel streets in heaven, as long as Jesus is there. I used to want to be with him and see the foundations of precious stones. I don't care if the foundation's made out of steel and concrete, as long as he's there. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he's there. Christian friends, let's long for him. I mean, let's let there be a hurt, I didn't hear. Longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart to see his face, just to be near him, to feel his presence. I have a longing in my heart for him. Let me ask you a question. Are you going there? You know, I'd hate to live in this old world of sin and die and go to hell, wouldn't you? I hate to live here where nothing is but tears and go to hell and cry forever. I'd hate to suffer for 70 here and then suffer in the pangs of hell forever and ever and ever. I'd hate to spend a life in this vale of tears and then have to spend eternity in something worse. Blessed be God, those of us that have beating in our breast the hope of heaven, even Jesus himself, we have a hope. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, he's prepared for us a place. Are you going there? Huh? Hey, you going to heaven? Huh? Let's bow our heads, please. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles. I want to know I'm going to heaven. First, let me ask you this. How many do know it? It's all settled. You know you're going to heaven. If you died right now, if you dropped dead this moment, you'd go to heaven right away. You know it. Raise your hand, would you please? You can drop your hands. Every eye is closed. No one is moving. I wonder who would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand. But I wish I could. I want to go to heaven. I don't know that I'm going, but I want to know it. I wish I had the hope you have. A fellow said not long ago to me, Brother Hiles, I don't believe all that pie-in-the-sky stuff. I don't believe all that stuff about a home over there. We used to sing it, oh, they tell me of a home over there. And I don't believe in all that stuff, he said. I said, yes, but don't you wish you could? His lips began to quiver, and he said, yes, I wish I could believe it. Well, it's true whether you believe it or not. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand because I don't know that I'm going to heaven. But I want to go to heaven. I know I have to die, that I know. And I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. On the lower floor, on the main floor, how many would say, pray for me that I might know that? Pray for me that I may know that I'm going to heaven. Would you lift your hand, please, and I'll pray for you. Way up high, would you lift it? You don't know that you're going to heaven. God bless you, little lady. God love you. Who else on the lower floor? God bless you, little lady. I see you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. I want to go to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Raise your hand, please. You said, Brother Hiles, I'm not going to die soon. Neither did that 19-year-old boy think so last Sunday morning either. You don't know. Who else would say, include me in the prayer on the lower floor? I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know it now, but I want to know. Raise your hand for prayer, would you please? On the lower floor. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? Quickly. On the main floor. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Would you lift your hand, please, quickly? The balcony on my left. You don't know that you're going to heaven. God bless you. God bless you, son. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. Would you raise your hand, please? The balcony on my left. Are there others, please? In the center balcony, how many would say, pray for me? I want to go to heaven when I die, but I don't know that I'm ready. Raise your hand for prayer, would you, please? In the center balcony, way up high. The balcony on my right. If you don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did, lift your hand way up high. God bless you. Is there another? The balcony on my right. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did know it. Would you lift your hand, please? May I see it? Our Heavenly Father, I pray for all of these today who need to know. May they realize that our Savior said, I am the way,
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our heads are bowed this morning right where you are. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, would you just say this prayer and mean it? Dear God, forgive my sins. Say it and mean it. And save my soul. I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. Would you say that prayer? Would you? Whenever we sing, would you slip out from the aisle and come down to the front and let me know that you're receiving Jesus? Wait a minute. How many of you have been saved, but you've not yet walked the aisle or been baptized since you got saved? Would you raise your hand, please, all over the building, all over this great building? You're saved, but have not been baptized yet. Would you raise your hand? Way up high, please. Way up high. Yes? Are there others? Yes? Are there others? Way up high. You know that you're saved, but you've not been baptized yet. Lift your hand. All right. You come this morning for baptism. And this morning, if you want to join the church by transfer on the first stanza, you slip out and come down these aisles and transfer that membership. But come to Christ this morning on the first stanza, little lady, and over here and up in the balcony. Leave your seat and come toward the aisle and down the aisle to say yes to God. Father, bless the invitation. We leave it to you. It's yours. We're yours. Oh, God, may people prepare for heaven this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.